Stand up for your rights. Yes, yes, yes. Good morning, good morning. I am Joanne Bowman.
And I'm Dave Mazza.
And you're listening to Voices from the Edge. You may be confused because you may think, well, gee, wasn't David here last week and where was Joanne? And now David's here and was he supposed to be here? Well, hey, that's our goal. Our goal is to keep you confused. But we're both pleased to be here with you today. And today's going to be one of those conversations where we want to hear from you, what's on your mind. We're going to start off talking a little bit about the conclusion of former Chief Derek Foxworth's case. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Sun School program at Multnomah County. Are the mean girls at it again? And then we're going to find out what's on your mind. And so, as always, our number here is 503-231-8187. So pick up the phone, give us a call. And so let's start off. So we know this week there have been several developments this week in former police chief Derek Foxworth's case. About a week ago, right? The mayor had a press conference that stated that there were 8 allegations that were being investigated. 7 of those allegations were found to be unfounded and unsubstantiated. And the 8th one, there was a finding of Foxworth did, in fact, share information with someone inappropriately. And the penalty for that was, in fact, a written reprimand. And so I have to tell you, Dave, when I was, like, in Chicago, when I heard that the mayor had a press conference and this had taken place, and I was really, really surprised to hear that he had lost his position as police chief.
Yeah, I think when you take into account a couple of things, one is if you look at, for example, how much Croker got away with before they finally, you know, sent him packing out the door. I mean, the man, you know, committed far more
egregious
acts.
Yes.
And then, secondly, looking at who Foxworth's replacement is, mm-hmm. Rosie Sizer, who was actually received a written reprimand in 2002 for not investigating that assault by 2 off-duty officers on a citizen outside of Stefano's nightclub downtown, and yeah, she's now in the chief's position.
Right. What I found surprising is how quiet the public has been. I mean, I came back, I started searching papers. I was waiting to hear that the community was outraged. I was waiting to hear that all these organized efforts were taking place. And up until yesterday was the only time I actually saw letters to the editor talking about the Foxworth situation.
It seemed like the only place that a lot of noise was coming from was from the pages of, for example, the Oregonian and Willamette Week. But, yeah, I agree. There's both pro and con factions there just seem not to be making any sounds.
I don't get that. So people tell me, you know, how come people are so quiet? Call us and tell us, 503-231-8187. You know, I have to say that I was disappointed in that because, quite frankly, I don't believe if somebody, especially if someone is making allegations against someone and they're making the allegations not using the formal channels that they're making the allegations, mm-hmm. but instead they file a lawsuit because they have a hope of obtaining some financial gains through the process. It just bugs me that someone could do that and have no repercussions themselves. And so the individual that actually filed the suit, in fact, still has her job, can still come back whenever she wants to, has lost no position, has lost no standing. And to me, there's something fundamentally wrong with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard not to reach the conclusion that she is, laying the groundwork for the civil lawsuit. Because looking at the report itself, one of the things the investigators keep pointing out was her lack of a willingness to participate in the investigation.
Right.
It took them quite a bit of time before she'd finally sit down and make a statement. They had to, you know, work with her attorney to get the necessary copies of the emails. I mean, I got the sense, if I'm not mistaken, from reading the report, they never did get all the materials that they requested. And I can understand them wanting to, you know, safeguard some of her rights for future redress of grievances, but this is not, you know, looking like someone who's really focusing on getting the injustice taken care of.
Exactly. And for me, I mean, the first thing that became obvious to me is, like, I don't have any emails from 5 years ago. My email system doesn't allow me to maintain emails from that long ago. And so to have someone mysteriously come up with 5 to 6 year old emails, one-sided emails no less, right? Because we still don't know what her communication was.
Right.
It just seems to me that it just seems to me, number one, that this was someone who thought because of a previous relationship they'd get some additional benefit by having this individual in the chief's office. And when they found out they weren't going to get any additional benefit from that previous relationship, they decided to retaliate.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it
mm-hmm.
sounds like to me. So, and then as this has moved further and further, it appears that because of the media campaign that started less than 24 hours before the charges were even addressed, that that based on the media's beat, and, you know, I'm not talking your media, I'm talking the major media's beat, like, you know, the Oregonian, the Tribune,
right,
which were within 24 hours demanding his resignation, demanding he be fired from the force, and blah, blah, blah. If that's how we're going to make decisions about who lead us, I am very concerned about the future of Portland.
Yeah, I am concerned as well, you know. I think that backing up a little bit, I mean, trying to give her the benefit of the doubt mm-hmm. on this, I can understand individuals getting into a situation and realizing, you know, this has potential hazards,
right,
and wanting to start documenting things.
Right.
But she, at some point, they have to kind of come forward and start saying, you know, here's the reason I kept those 5-year-old emails,
mm-hmm.
and her lack of cooperation is not helping her, I don't think,
right,
at all. But yeah, I mean, you know, we do have the bigger question of, to me, the bigger question is, we keep having these red flags raised about problems, gender issue problems inside the bureau, and regardless of what the findings were on this, clearly, you know, there are some questions about how management in the bureau is dealing with these issues, and
right,
we need, you know, the bureau needs some clear lay down ground rules.
Right.
I think there are obviously issues with,
right,
the way women officers are treated, and how much longer, you know, do we have to keep going through this?
Right. Well, and it sounds like at least from this particular case, there will be forthcoming policy changes that will prohibit the kind of behavior that this case was about. We've got some callers, so let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Cable.
Good morning, and welcome back, Joanne.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's good to hear your voice on the radio
well,
again.
Thank you,
Dave,
so much.
Hello to you.
Hi.
I am really ambivalent about the issue of the chief and his firing, the issue, because it's an overall, it's the Americana Puritan prurience of sex scandal and power struggles and offices. Look at, for instance, the prison guards in, I believe it was Georgia, shot yesterday, Florida, whatever it was, shot yesterday over a sex for favors scandal and so forth. So I'm ambivalent about the issue of that. But it, what you brought up is something interesting to me as a somewhat conservative libertarian, and that is the loser pays idea of a lawsuit. You mentioned, Joanne, that this woman, there's no repercussions. Well, if the loser pays, if we institute some kind of loser pays system, then we'll have a chance for some justice.
Well, I don't know about that. Because, you know,
and I know it's controversial.
Well, it's extremely controversial because most poor people can't afford lawyers anyway, or even middle class people. You don't even have to go to poor people. Most middle class people can't afford lawyers anyway. And if you're going to take on a bureaucracy, a big company, or anything like that, as a little person, that would be the most intimidating factor, that whether or not you're right, the question isn't whether or not you're right in your issue. The question is whether or not you win at in a trial. And if you, as somebody who's a middle-class person, lose to a big company, think about all the lawyers they have at their disposal. All, you know, they have people who are on the payroll for the whole purpose of defending lawsuits.
Well, and the reason I even bring it up is because if your case is right, if the facts are with you, then you can move forward and know justifiably that you will win at the end of the day because the facts are there. If it's a so-called frivolous lawsuit, first of all, frivolous lawsuits are often thrown out by judges. So this conservative right-wing idea that, oh, all these lawsuits are frivolous is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is unwinnable, or if indeed it's a false case or a fraudulent case, it will be put down, and the loser will say, "Oh my God, it was well. Okay, I was trying to pull on the system." It will get rid of a lot of lawsuits that aren't frivolous.
Sorry, within the power
fraudulent. You know what I'm saying? Like say this woman that is accusing the former chief and so forth. Say her case is completely bogus, and she was out to get what she wanted. She would lose. Well, she would pay.
Yeah, judges already, though, have the power to assign attorney's fees and various other penalties for frivolous lawsuits. So,
right.
In a way, it's really, you know, an issue that has remedies already in place without imposing that sort of chilling effect that would come with just a kind of across the board.
But, you know, and the other thing is like, so far, it's been rare that citizens have been able to, for example, file a suit against a police department and win.
Oh,
number one,
you're right.
There are very few lawyers that are willing to go up against an establishment like the police department.
Which has two layers of bureaucracy. One is the city police department, and the other is the Brotherhood of the Union of the Police.
Exactly.
And that's a two-pronged powerhouse.
You're and they will use all their resources to defend their members. And so, you know, it's like, I mean, I have people call me all the time, do you know a lawyer who would look at this case? And since Alan Graf left town, most of the time I have to say, well, no, not right offhand.
Right. I see your point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just thought the loser pays idea is one that kind of bubbled up out of the conversation. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in and sharing your insight.
Thanks a lot.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. We are talking about the resolution of former police chief Dirk Foxworth's position. We're going to move into some other stuff, but we also want to hear what you think and why are people so quiet or ambivalent about the outcome of this three-month investigation?
Yeah. It took about 90 days, which, as Potter was
mentioning,
about
normal
is what is considered the normal time. He was miffed at the fact that the press was, you know, nipping at his heels so much about not having happened right away. And which I think, you know, he was right to kind of take them on. The Oregonian in particular was getting pretty vitriolent about this and continues to do so. I mean, they seem to really decide they wanted to go after Foxworth.
Right.
Which, again, if we look at his predecessors, seems a little out of keeping. I mean, they certainly were never...
Well, and they loved him up until the day, and including the day that Veracats had him resign.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
so
he's homophobic. He's beating up protesters.
Right. Well, he's racist and sexist, but yet, you know.
And let's face it, he's just a little bit crazy.
Okay, back to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi. My name is Linda Kanzinger. I did write a letter to the editor. It was in four different papers, and one of the reasons I did was because of the silence. I think some other issues that haven't been brought up here today, anyway, have to do with the desk clerk jobs, because Oswald, the accuser, was a union activist.
Right.
And the police union didn't support Foxworth, and I just feel he was railroaded completely. And then after the charges were found to be, you know,
unsubstantiated.
Yeah, unsubstantiated. Then the one charge that was given, as was said in a number of accounts, it's something very common that people do.
Right.
And so I think, well, here's somebody falsely accused. It turns out, and then his honor and reputation to be smeared. It's like at the end, the mayor says, well, you know, he can't lead. And it's like, well, if you put a bunch of personal email all over the newspaper and have everybody read it, and then that's the reason that we, you know, can't have this person in public office anymore.
Right.
I just felt like it was complete racism. We don't want a black police chief. I have an old article from Chief Moose from 1997. I keep old newspapers. And
okay, so you have emails from back that far, too?
No, but here's a quote that's relevant. It says, because he had a gender discrimination suit against him.
Yes,
and
yes.
Another discrimination lawsuit, et cetera, et cetera. And he went kind of out in public and kind of took things in charge of things. But he said, quote, it's almost like they get some instructions that when they see a black person, they need to, like, run their antennas up and challenge this person and confront this person. There's no free movement. And mm-hmm. I just felt like that, you know, there were a number of different forces closing in on Foxworth, and that, you know, I was waiting for the black community to be out in the streets, and they weren't.
Me too. I was, like, totally amazed at the silence that took place. I just couldn't. You know, because before the decision was made,
mm-hmm.
I kept telling people, we need to respect the process. You know, there's a process in place and an investigation going on, and it's inappropriate for us to be taking any kind of action until the process has been completed.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually thought that the moment that the process was completed and the decision was made,
mm-hmm.
that there would be more of a public reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just kind of blown away. And like I said, when I got back in town, I was searching everywhere to try to figure out, okay, so what are people doing? How are people responding?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, until yesterday, it seemed like people were just absolutely, and I don't know whether it's stunned silence or whether it's people feeling like they have no power to make any changes based on the decisions that were made. But I was, like, really surprised at the non-response.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's long, like, I do, you know, I follow a lot of this type of thing, and there's a long kind of pattern where there's something that happens, and then there's outrage, and then there's, you know, be patient and, you know, give the time for the process, and, you know, the black community is pretty small. The white liberal community, there was a good article in the Oregonian saying basically that the white Portlanders think that they're progressive.
Right.
We're not.
Right.
You know, most of the white people I talk to about issues of racism, you know, yawn, turn, or they get defensive, you know.
Right.
Oh, we're not like that.
That's
and
right.
This is just perfect proof. I mean, if you came out and just said they didn't want another black police chief, and, you know, maybe he didn't support the death jobs issue and maybe other things and the politics and the police union and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, he was railroaded. I mean, it wasn't fair.
I'm so glad to hear that someone else felt that way, because that was my gut. My gut was like, you know, there's something wrong with this. There's something fundamentally wrong with this, because when you place somebody on leave because you are doing an investigation, the penalty should be connected with the investigation. And it doesn't appear that that's so. So,
mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe it was just me, because no one else seemed to be outraged and ticked off and annoyed.
I've been furious.
Well, thank you. I got a sister out there. Thank you. I thought maybe it was just me. Maybe I was missing something. But I came back and tried to educate myself, and just really felt that the community, the progressive community as a whole, has kind of really let down this police chief.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's like, not that I think that Derek Foxworth was perfect,
mm-hmm.
because I still had my issues with Foxworth. I still wanted him to move quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted him to take more action, to
mm-hmm.
be more proactive about addressing a lot of the problems within the police bureau.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine that I would think differently about any police chief,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, but
and that's
I
not a cause. That's not a cause for what happened to him.
Exactly.
That was his style. That was his style of leadership.
Right. Right.
It had nothing to, you know, had nothing to do with that.
Right. Well, I appreciate your call this morning,
you.
And thank you very much for writing that letter. Thank you for making sure your voice is heard.
Well, thank you.
I know we can do better, because I've seen us do better, and I've seen us respond with less information than what we have right now. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for your call.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
So do you think, Joanne, that some of this is Potter's frustration with Foxworth not moving fast enough, that he may see, you know, he may have seen Foxworth as becoming an impediment to making some of the changes within inside the Bureau that he wanted made. This is purely speculation on my part.
I tell you, Chief Sizer reminded me last night that commander and above all work at the pleasure of. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's no tenure, there's no expectation that once you're in this position, you're going to be there forever. And it's like, okay, so I can respect that. It's like, okay, so if you're in a position, I mean, like when I worked for Bev Stein, that was at will employment. Mm-hmm. She could have walked in any day and said, Joanne, it's been real, but it's time for you to go. And so I understand that philosophically. But the picture that's been painted for the public is that he was placed on leave for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you come back with the answers for that reason, that should be that issue. Now, if there were other issues with Foxworth, they should have been dealt with in another manner.
Oh, not, I agree.
Not co-mingled with this particular issue. Because this was so visible and so hostile and so in your face. The other thing I want to say before I go back to the phone line, we got lots of callers on the line, is that there's been speculation that because of the desire to bring injured officers in to replace the civilian clerks so that they're not out on disability leave forever and a day, mm-hmm. but actually they're back working in the police environment might be part of the reason why the union has been so adamantly supportive of this clerk. Right, because the whole idea of losing union positions because
right.
you're going to be bringing disabled officers back, you know. And of course, again, that's just speculation, but I've certainly heard that from a few people that might be why they've taken such a strong stance in this case. By the way, you're listening to KBOO Portland. Next caller, please. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Cable.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Steve Dean, in one of his columns, asked the question that I haven't really seen anyone. It was an interesting question that he added up all the emails and everything and phone calls, and he's sort of asking, when did Foxworth have time to do anything else?
Well, I mean, so we're talking about two separate things. One is the personal sex life of consenting adults.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about just the time spent in writing the emails and doing the phone calls and all that. It's like,
Understanding is that the investigation found that none of that was from his personal email, mm-hmm. that it wasn't on government, it wasn't why he was at work. And so, you know.
Yeah, it was all off the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of like he had a 25-hour day or something, I guess.
Well, you know, I got to tell you that, the report itself just says it didn't happen, you know, during the work hours. So, and we have clearly no control over anybody's personal life, mm-hmm. you know, and clearly the questions that were investigated were well investigated, but and that's what they found. The findings, which is actually on the mayor's website, if you want to read the report, clearly says that there was no indication any of this happened during work time, which is why he was exonerated of those charges.
You also heard that apparently Foxworth and Mayor Potter were having some disagreements about something, too.
Well, you know, it probably wouldn't be the first time that a employee and boss disagree with each other.
Well, they started out to be friends. I guess they're still friends, but I can't say the gist I hear is that they've kind of got a little distance from each other or something.
Well, I mean, clearly they've had some public disagreements. I remember that Chief Foxworth wanted to stay in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. The mayor didn't. That was pretty public. You know, as a rule, you don't actually publicly say things in contrary to what your boss says. You know, you could privately think that way. But, and I'm sure that there are other situations. But, and again, you know, when you are a at-will employee, you know, you don't actually have to have a reason in order to move somebody to another position. For me, it's not the question of whether or not he was doing an effective job as a police chief. For me, the question is simply, if you place somebody on leave because you have these allegations that you're investigating, it should be all about the allegations that you're investigating. And once you've concluded that investigation and you find that only one of the eight charges have been substantiated, then you have to hold them accountable for that one charge that you found him guilty of, right? And so all the other factors that you're talking about had nothing to do with this particular investigation at this time.
Well, that is, you know, like you said, it's an at-will job.
Right.
So I guess the excuse was that, well, because of that, he sort of doesn't have the, I don't know, the authority he had before. And so, in fact, I read someplace
else. So what do you think about that? And the reason he doesn't have the authority he had before is because the media printed in nauseating detail these emails, and they were just flying all over the place. So
the other cops are laughing at him or something.
Well, I mean, but I mean, for me, I found it really troubling. Number one, that the kind of detail was actually in a daily paper, right? I found that kind of disturbing because it's like you could report without actually putting the details. I mean, it was details that none of us needed to read about. You know, it wasn't necessary to the story. It wasn't necessary to the investigation to be publishing those emails, in my opinion. And so aside from that, so the media actually is the one that within 24 hours was saying he needs to resign or he needs to be fired. And so to me, that means that what we're doing is leadership by media acclamation.
Well, now they demoted him, and now they're promoting him again. I guess they're moving him up a notch. Right,
that's true. He's going to be commander of Southeast Precinct.
Right.
Well, you know, your basic question is, you know, first, I find it hard to really get too worked up about it because I don't seem to have much sympathy with anyone in that whole issue, you know?
Mm.
It just seems like it's a, you know, it's a little kind of a fight among the powerful, among the authorities and everything. And, you know, to me, Foxworthy, you know, I mean, he should be treated fairly, but he's no big hero of mine. And same with the, you know, all of them, all the people involved just seem like, you know, I don't know what the real issues are.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah, it's interesting to see how this unravels, and I hope all the facts come out, and I hope everybody is treated fairly, but as far as getting emotionally involved in it, I just find that a little hard to do.
Well,
you know, I'm all about justice, right?
Yeah,
and
well,
fairness.
That's what I mean. Okay.
And so when I remember that when it first started, there were lots of folks saying, well, what should we do? What kind of organized effort should we take? And I was of the opinion that if you have put in place a formal investigation, that you should respect that process, right? And so I was encouraging people to really not take any action until the formal investigation was completed, right? Because in my view, you know, it's like, why jump out there? And because we don't have the facts, we don't know the details of the investigation, why jump out there half-cocked, taking a position when all the information isn't in? And so I was really encouraging people to kind of wait till the investigation was over. But then what I'm troubled by is when the investigation is over and you find out that 7 of the 8 charges are not substantiated, and the charge that is substantiated, the deepest level of punishment for that offense is a written reprimand. But yet you lose, I mean, you go from being police chief to being captain, which is like a 3-tier reduction in rank. You know, that was what bothered me.
Yeah, well,
what I'll tell you before you go, what bothered me, and this is sort of a button gets pushed a lot, is that when I hear progressive communities say, well, you know, it's just that the power elites fighting amongst each other, which I don't argue with, that is true, and we're not going to see all the problems resolved by who gets selected in the office. But the fact of the matter is, who sits in that chief's chair has a very real effect on certain communities, and including the progressive activist community. Now, I can't believe that Chief Foxworth was not a better chief than Chief Croker was.
Oh, that's pretty
with
sure.
All his militaristic stuff. And that also equates out into some very real things in terms of how the patrolling's going in certain neighborhoods, what have you, what community policing means. I mean, I don't know how committed Foxworth was to community policing, but he certainly wasn't advocating the snitch network that Croker was trying to install.
That's right.
I think it behooves the progressive community to be out there and saying, hey, you know, we do need to make those, recognize those differences, because some of our allies in the broader progressive community are going to be affected by what's happening here.
Well, you think they'll paper this over and it'll all be sort of gone, or they, is this still got more more stuff to come out?
Well, I mean, the investigation is done. What happens with the lawsuit, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what happens to the unanswered questions? I mean, for me, it's like a very, this is a very unsatisfactory ending to a very long process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like for me, I mean, I want to know if in fact, you know, the big issue about why Foxworth can't be chief anymore has to do with the emails that he sent out. I sure want to know what her response was to those emails.
Oh yeah,
I
right.
I can't imagine anyone sending me those kind of emails, and if I don't want it, you know, that clearly I would have some responsibility to say this is not what I want to receive, right? And the fact that she had so many implies that she had to respond in a like manner, because otherwise he would be an idiot to keep sending those kind of emails to somebody who isn't responding.
Well, if she goes to court, maybe they will come out.
Yeah.
Well, and I actually think I think when everything is said and done, it's about dollars and cents for this particular individual. My question at the very beginning was there a hostile work environment created? And that, to me, was the question that should have been answered by the investigation. And the investigation clearly says that that was not the case. And so, if that isn't the case, I ask the question again. So why isn't he police chief?
Okay.
Bye. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, caller. Welcome to K-Boo.